God is not interested in your methodology as much as he is interested in your motivation. You can have the right methodology and you do everything right and you're very successful in life, but if you've got the wrong motive, it doesn't count with God. On the other hand, you could really mess up and you do it all wrong and you have so many failures and you have so many mistakes, but you got the right motive. God goes, that's good enough.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with a series called The Miracle of Mercy. In this series, Rick looks at how the mercy of God touches every aspect of our lives and the lives of those around us. In a few minutes, we're going to let you know how you can get the DVD study kit for this series. It's perfect for your personal Bible study time or your small group. So stay with us and find out how you can get yours. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called God Can Use Anybody.
God has a calling on your life. Some people say, well, I'm called. And they think, oh, like to be called is like for pastors or priests or nuns or missionaries or like religious type people. No. Everybody is called by God to serve him. And everybody is chosen by God to serve him. You're shaped for service. You're created to make a contribution with your life. And before you were born, God already knew every dumb thing you were going to do. In fact, God already knows all the dumb sins you're going to commit in the future that you haven't even done yet. He already knows all those things. But in his mercy, it doesn't disqualify you from serving him. That's called mercy. And God says, I'm going to use you in spite of the fact that you are broken. God has never, ever, ever used a perfect person because there aren't any except Jesus Christ. If God only used perfect people, what would get done in the world? Nothing. Not a zip, nothing. Because there are no perfect people in the world. God only used flawed people. God only uses marred people. God only uses broken people, weak people, sinful people, people who don't have it all together. Everything that gets done that's good in the world is done by less than perfect people. That's because the mercy of God. So you never forget that God wants to save you, he created you, he loves you, and he wants to use you all because of his mercy. I went through the Bible this week, and I made a list of famous people that God used in spite of what you might consider to be a weakness, okay? Abraham. Abraham was really, really old. He was like 90 years old when God started using him, and nothing really kicked in till he was like 100. Okay, so some of you think, well, I've wasted a lot of time. Well, not as much as Abraham did, okay? Abraham, Jacob was a chronic liar, and God used him, and he ran away from every difficult situation. Leah was unattractive. She was hit with an ugly stick, okay? And God used Leah, okay? She was just not attractive. Joseph was abused. He was abused. Gideon was poor. He was the poorest kid in his family. Samson was a reckless codependent. God used him. Rahab was a prostitute. And yet Rahab shows up in God's Hall of Fame in Hebrews chapter 11 as a great woman of faith. He used her in spite of her mistakes. Jonah was fearful and reluctant. Elijah was suicidal. Naomi, used by God, was an elderly widow. Jeremiah had chronic depression, and God used him. He was called the weeping prophet because he cried all the time. Really. David had an affair and then had his mistress's husband killed. That would, I would think, disqualify you. Okay, you would think that one. But David wrote the book of Psalms, and God used him in a great way. John the Baptist was eccentric, to say the least, if you know anything about him. Peter was impulsive and had serious anger management problems. You got a problem with your temper? Doesn't matter. God wants to use you. Martha worried a lot. You're a worrywart. God wants to use you. The Samaritan woman had several failed marriages. God used her. Zacchaeus had been an unethical scam artist. God used him. Thomas had doubts. Timothy was timid. And Moses, David, and Paul were all guilty of murder in their past. So what's your excuse? Why can you not be used by God? I want you to write this down on the screen here. Write this down. Every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. Every saint, that guy you think, man, he's a good guy. He's a good guy. That guy, he's a godly man. That woman, she's a saint. Every saint has a past. They've messed up, they've flawed, they've fumbled the ball, they've screwed up, all in the past. Every saint has a past, and every sinner has a future. That's because of the mercy of God. Doesn't matter how bad you've messed up, God says, I want to use you for good, and I want you to feel me using you in your life. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, the Bible says this, it is God himself who has made us. He made us what we are, and he's given us new lives from Christ Jesus. And long ago, this is before you were born, long ago, he planned that we should spend these lives in watching television. No, we should spend these lives in what? Helping others. That's your work to do. That's your ministry.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, and you're listening to our series called The Miracle of Mercy. There's more coming up, so stay with us.
One of the major themes revealed throughout the Bible is mercy. God's mercy heals broken hearts, reconciles relationships, restores forgotten dreams, and refreshes tired souls. Today, when you support this ministry with a financial gift, we'll send you a copy of the Miracle of Mercy Study Kit by Rick Warren, complete with a 6-session DVD and workbook. It's perfect for your solo or small group study time and is sure to be the cure for every insecurity, worry, and fear in your life. Call 800-600-5004 to get yours. That's 800-600-5004. Or go to PastorRick.com. That's Pastor Rick with two R's in the middle, .com. Thanks so much.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Once again, here's Pastor Rick Warren.
In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, the Bible says this, it is God himself who has made us. He made us what we are, and he's given us new lives from Christ Jesus. And long ago, this is before you were born, long ago, he planned that we should spend these lives in watching television. No, we should spend these lives in what? Helping others. That's your work to do. That's your ministry. When you go, I'm going to use the talent, the ability, the background I've got to help somebody else, that's what God planned for you to do. And when you look at what you're good at, that's what you're supposed to do. All right, so that's the starting point. Never forget it's all because of God's mercy. Here's the second key to being used by God. Be real. You must be real. Write this down. You got to be authentic. You've got to be genuine. You have to be yourself. You can't be somebody you're not. God did not create you to be somebody else. So many of us start off, all of us start off as originals, and we end up as being carbon copies. And we start trying to be like other people. God wants to use you as you. He doesn't want you to be somebody else. When you get to heaven one day, God isn't going to say, hey, why weren't you more like Moses? Why weren't you more like your sister or your mom or your brother or your dad? God's not going to compare you to anybody else. He made you to be you. And if you don't be you, who's going to be you? A lot of people think, in order for God to use me, I've got to be somebody different than I am. No, you're dead wrong. You don't have to be somebody different. In fact, God made you to be you, and that's all he wants you to be. And so you've got to be real. You can't wear a mask. God does not use fakes. God does not use phonies. God does not use posers. God does not use pretenders. God does not use people who wear a mask and act one way over here and another way over here. He just wants you to be real. He wants you to be authentic. He wants you to be yourself. God made you to be you. Now, this is a problem because so many people are trying to be somebody they're not. And they're trying to be somebody they're not either because they think somebody else wants them to be that way and they're living for the approval of others, or they actually think God wants them to be that way. And they think, well, you know, God would really love me more if I would act like this. No, God's love is not based on how you act. That's mercy. He loves you no matter what you do, good or bad. So his love isn't based on that. But a lot of people are living for the expectations of other people. They're living for the approval of other people. And you've just got to be real. Now, if you try to be somebody that you're not, thinking that's going to please God or your boyfriend or anybody else for that matter, three things are going to happen in your life. First, you're always going to be under stress if you try to be somebody you're not. You're always going to be under stress the rest of your life. Second, you're going to have the fear of being exposed. What if people find out what I'm really like? And then third, you're going to end up manipulating people because you're afraid of being who God really made you to be. Now, this is in verse 2. We're going through this chapter together. And the second key, Paul says, in order to be used by God is you've got to be real. You got to be yourself. Verse 2, he says this. We don't try to trick anyone. In other words, we're not manipulators. We're not phonies or fakes. We're not trying to manipulate others. We don't try to trick anyone. And we don't twist the word of God. Instead, we teach the truth plainly, showing everyone who we really are. Circle the word really. Who we really are. God wants you to show people who you really are. Then they can know in their hearts what kind of people we are in God's sight. He's saying you gotta be real. Paul goes, I've got nothing to hide. I'm completely transparent. What you see is what you get. Now, let me say it again. You don't have to be perfect for God to use you in a great way, but you do have to be authentic. You have to be authentic, and you gotta be real, and you just what you see is what you get. You know, you're looking at a very flawed man, very flawed. If you don't believe it, ask my staff, ask my family, ask my neighbors, ask me. If you've been around here any length of time, you probably know my weaknesses because I talk about them all the time because I want you to know that I know what they are. I'm more aware of my weaknesses than anybody else. And so I talk about them because I just want you to know that God uses weak people. I actually think imperfections in a pastor are a good thing because then you go, well, good night. If God uses that guy, maybe he could use me. If God uses somebody who's got as many problems and messes up and does it, then maybe God could use me too. You see, people don't actually grow from your strengths. They grow from your weaknesses. If you go out and only try to show your strengths to the world and you go, here's all my strengths, well, people go, well, goody for you. And when you share your strengths, it doesn't make other people feel close to you. It makes them jealous, mad, envious, or angry or whatever and go, who do you think you are? On the other hand, when you get up and you talk about, here's where I blew it, here's where I made a mistake, this is my weakness, here's the real deal, then that actually causes people to draw closer to you, and it makes intimacy much better in a relationship when you reveal your weaknesses, not your strengths. A lot of people are in marriages that are terrible because people are trying to hide their weaknesses even from their spouse. That doesn't work. It doesn't work. So, you gotta be real. Now, let me give you the upside of this. Now, this is a little secret that I've learned because I stopped trying to fake it, I don't know, decades ago. And, you know, what you see is what you get. And if you don't like that, well, sorry. But when you live authentically, when you live real, when you're not trying to fake it, it gets better every year. Your life gets better every year. When you're real, when you're honest, when you're the real deal. When you fake it, when you wear a mask, when you pretend, it gets worse every year. You get more stressed out. And the more you hide, and the more you pretend, and the more you wear a mask, and the more you're not in touch with who you really are, the worse it actually gets. Now, do you know the number one barrier that keeps you from being used by God, to feeling his power and his presence in your life and God using? The number one reason is your fear of being real. It's the fear of being real. Because you think, you know, if I really be who I am, what if people don't like me? Why am I afraid to tell you who I am? Because if I tell you who I really am, you may not like me and I'm all I've got and I'm up a creek without a paddle. And that's no good. And so we live behind walls and we fake it till we make it and we wear these masks. And we live with lives of insecurity. Now, the antidote to your insecurity, all those secret fears and all those things that where you don't want to show people who you really are, the antidote is to get God's spirit of mercy in you. And when you get God's spirit of mercy in you and you realize God loves me unconditionally, God is never going to stop loving me. God's mercy is going to be with me no matter whether I do it right or do it wrong, how many mistakes I make. He's not going to get tired of forgiving me. When you realize that God truly loves you unconditionally, then you realize you're a child of God. And that liberates you to be who God made you to be. In Romans chapter 8, verse 15, Paul says it like this. The spirit we receive, this is the spirit of God, the spirit of mercy. The spirit of mercy that we receive does not make us slaves again to fear. It makes us children of God. Now that verse says that there's two ways you can live in life. You can live either under the bondage of a spirit of fear, or you can live free as a child of God under the mercy of God. And you can make the decision. You can say, I'm gonna be stuck and I'm gonna be enslaved by fear. And I'm not gonna let people see what I really like. Or I'm gonna live as a child of God because of his mercy, and I know he's gonna love me no matter what. And when you understand you're a child of God, you realize it's all by God's mercy. You don't have to fake it, you can be real. Now here's the third key, the third secret of being used by God the rest of your life, no matter what's happened in your past. Here it is, number three, remember it's not about me. Remember it's not about me. Now, every time you forget that, you're gonna either get bitter from problems or you're gonna get prideful from blessings in your life. And when you forget that it's not about you, you take everything personally. In verse 5, Paul gives us this third key. He says this, our message is not about ourselves. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about Jesus Christ as the Lord. We are merely your servants for Jesus' sake. He uses this phrase, for Jesus' sake, twice in this chapter. He says, it's not about us. It's all about Jesus. Does anybody remember the first sentence of the purpose-driven life? It's not about you. It's not about you. That is the most counter-culture statement you could possibly make in today's society. It's not about you. It's the exact opposite of everything you're taught. Because everything else in our society says it's all about you. Every advertisement appeals to your self-centeredness. It appeals to your narcissism. Every single message you get every day goes, it's all about you. We do it all for you. Have it your way. You deserve the break today. Today you get the best. You're number one. It's all about you. You need to think of what's best for me. I need to think of what's best for me. And on. Every 1,000 times a day, our society says, it's all about you. It's very hard to live an unselfish life in today's culture because our entire culture and our entire economy is built on the fact that everybody says, no, it's all about you. It's not. You are not the center of the universe. God is the center of the universe. And when you live a self-centered life, as I said, you become frustrated, you become unfulfilled, and eventually you become bored. You know, when I wrote that sentence, A Purpose-Driven Life, the first sentence of the book, it's not about you. Honestly, I had no idea that I was gonna be tested on that sentence every day for the rest of my life. Sometimes 30, 40 times a day, I have to say that sentence to myself. It's not about you. And when I get a great opportunity to do something, I go, it's not about you. And when I face a big, big problem, I go, it's not about you. And when I'm criticized, fairly or unfairly, I go, it's not about you. And when I'm praised and somebody says something nice, I go, it's not about you. And when somebody gets angry, I go, it's not about you. And when somebody's upset because their needs not being met, it's not about you. I sometimes have to say that 20, 30, 40 times a day to myself. It's not about me. In fact, sometimes I wish I hadn't written that sentence. because I didn't want to be tested on it every day for the rest of my life. But God's going to say, okay, Rick, you wrote it. You're going to live it. Are you going to live it? It's not about you. It's all about God. Now, learning to follow Christ and learning to let Jesus Christ use you in an amazing way is all about motivation. God is far more interested in why you do what you do than what you actually do. There might be 100 things you could do with your life that God would say, fine, that's great. I made you, I shaped you. Any one of those would be fine with me. There might be 100 different things God would say, that would be fine for you to do with your life. What he is interested in is why you do it. God is not interested in your methodology as much as he is interested in your motivation. You can have the right methodology and you do everything right and you're very successful in life, but if you've got the wrong motive, it doesn't count with God. On the other hand, you could really mess up and you do it all wrong and you have so many failures and you have so many mistakes, but you got the right motive. God goes, that's good enough. Why is always more important than what? And when you figure out why you do what you do in life, God will show you how. It's always about motivation. And you got to remember, it's not about me. So I have to continually ask, why am I doing this? I see this happening all the time in people who become believers, that become followers of Christ, and then they want to get involved in like a ministry of Saddleback Church. And I notice that when they first start serving as a brand new believer, you're doing it with the right motivation. You're out of gratitude to God. Nobody's telling you to do this. You're not fearful. You're not pressured. It's just, I want to give back. God has saved me. I want to do something with my life. I want my life to count. And I just, in gratitude, I want to serve God. But I see slowly over time, sometimes people who are doing a particular work or service or ministry, all of a sudden, the motivation starts changing, and all of a sudden, I do it for the wrong reasons. I like the approval I get. I like the applause I get. It makes me feel important. And all of a sudden, I'm doing it for me. And a lot of times, what happens is people who start off as servants end up as celebrities. I see this happen in pastors all the time. You know I coach pastors. Success is actually not really good for pastors because it can mess with your mind, particularly if you have a lot of success early in your life, in your ministry, in your church. And I see guys who started off genuinely loving God in serving Christ in their church, and they turn from servants into celebrities. And they're not realizing it's not about them. It's not about them. They're doing it for Jesus' sake. Now, Paul is crystal clear. Twice in this passage, he says, I do what I do for Jesus. I do it for Jesus' sake, not for me.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, and you're listening to our series called The Miracle of Mercy. If you'd like to have these powerful Miracle of Mercy lessons on video, complete with a 6-session DVD and workbook, then be sure to request the Miracle of Mercy study kit when you contact us. This is a great way to go deeper in your study of God's Word. It's perfect for both personal and small group study time. And it's yours when you support this ministry with a financial gift. Get yours right now by calling 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. Or go to PastorRick.com. That's Pastor Rick with 2 R's in the middle, .com. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
Thanks so much for listening today. I want you to know what a personal blessing it is to me to be able to teach you each day. But I also want you to know, as a pastor, that I am concerned that you find a local church home. Listening to this broadcast is not enough to grow. You need to be in a local church family where you can do the 58 one another's of the New Testament. Love one another, care for one another, help one another, encourage one another, share with one another, greet with one another, and on and on and on. That's the mutual ministry of the body to itself. You can't do that just by listening. You've got to be a part of a family. Thanks for listening, and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.